Have you ever wondered how water from the earth travels to our sinks? Or how water quality in our communities impacts more than our health? Well, I'm here today to discuss these ideas, as well as what you personally can do to improve your water quality, on today's episode of the Everyday Wonders of Science. Water quality is a topic that is attracting more traction, as conversations around climate change gain prominence. Access to clean, quality water is a necessity for every single person. In order to learn more about water quality and its associated processes, I spoke with Dr. Dave Swertney, a professor in the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering at the University of Iowa. Dr. Swertney has over a decade's worth of experience in building devices to improve water quality. We began our conversation exploring our opening question. How exactly does water go from the earth into our homes?
And it depends on where you live, right? So like, let's take us here in Iowa City. Iowa City is built on the Iowa River. And so we have that as a resource that we can use to help sort of, you know, for our daily life. And so that, you know, if you're near a drinkable body of water, like what we call surface water, a lake, a river, a big enough sort of body that can support a population, folks will use that. It requires cleaning. Obviously, we don't have, you know, surface waters tend to be a little bit dirtier than other sources because they're open air, right? I mean, we know that there's runoff into them, everything that kind of moves off land when it rains. So, but we have a standard, we have standards in place to protect the quality of the water that gets delivered. We do have these treatment plants that are held to those fairly rigorous standards. And I think, you know, that last bit that gets it to our homes is what we call the distribution system. It's just a network of pipes that when you are served by a community water system in a city, they treat it at one place, get it clean, and they pump it out to you in your homes. And, you know, all that's kind of invisible. It's all below ground. It's down the street. You know, you drive on. It's pipes under your yard into your home or your apartment building. You turn on your water and it's there.
However, as Dr. Swertney describes, this process looks a little different for people that use well water.
The other exception, I think, is for people that aren't served by a water supply. And so we have a bunch of people in the U.S., I think it's like 13, 14 million people that aren't served by what we call a community water system. They have to use their own private well that's on their property. They end up being fully responsible for their ability to maintain that well.
This responsibility can have major consequences on water quality, as these wells are not strictly regulated by the U.S. government. The use of low-quality water that has been contaminated can actually have negative impacts on one's health.
First and foremost, it's a public health issue, right? You know, when we think of risks from water, there's two big bins I would sort of characterize. The first is what we call acute risks. And that's, you know, if you drink water that's bad, it makes you sick immediately. Like you feel the negative effect immediately. The things that cause that problem, there aren't many that we worry about actually in water. There's only a handful of things that we regulate for like an acute or immediate response. Like bacteria is one. If you have bacteria in your water and it's a pathogenic bacteria, something that can make you sick, if you ingest that and you get sick, it doesn't take a lot necessarily of some pathogens, a particular virus, a particular bacteria. So we do have to worry about those. You know, wells can be vulnerable because depending on what's being done on the land, that could influence shallow wells. So say if you're applying manure, as happens a lot in the Midwest, and the bacteria that's in the manure works their way into water supply, that's a big acute concern. You know, the other issue, I talked about two big bins, you know, there's the acute or immediate risk. The other are the long-term health effects, and we call those chronic health effects. And so it's not so much that, you know, if you get exposed or you have this, you know, say a chemical in your water that you're going to feel the damage immediately. It's stuff that accumulates over time. And so these are more the things that you worry about that might lead to cancer cases or, you know, liver and kidney issues down the road, simply because it's, you know, you're getting exposed to a little of it each day over maybe the 30 years you live on a property. And it, over time, that builds up.
The first step in improving your water quality is identifying contaminants that may be in your water. Dr. Swertney states that there are three major contaminants to be wary of.
So yeah, we can start with lead. I think lead is one where the reason I think we should care about it is one, we know it, we used it in a lot of building materials, plumbing. It was in paint. It's been industrial processes where, you know, we use it in leaded gasoline. So there's a really, there's a high prevalence of it still in the environment, even though we now realize it's bad for us and we've done everything we can to try to get it out. I think people need to be aware of their hazards to lead in the home. And I think they need to think more about how, particularly if you're in older homes, that, you know, lead could be in your plumbing and that, it, you know, you could be getting some exposure through your drinking water. I'll say the second one, which probably would have been my first if you hadn't mentioned lead, is nitrate. Nitrate is coming up a lot. Places all over the U.S. struggle with it. We struggle with it immensely here in the Midwest because it's a byproduct of all of our agricultural activities. And so fertilizer that goes down is something like ammonia eventually turns its way into nitrate in the environment. And it's why we have high levels of nitrate in drinking water in both groundwater and surface waters alike. The last one is this sort of emerging chemical class known as PFAS. So it stands for per and polyfluoroalkyl substances. And that's a big mouthful. But what you need to know about is it's actually a family of 3,000 or 4,000 chemicals that make up PFAS, which is abbreviated as PFAS. And they're all over the news lately because we've used them extensively. It's dating back to like the 1940s in a variety of commercial products. The most like obvious ones are like Teflon. You know, all the properties about this chemical class are the things that we like. They repel water, they're stain resistant. And so if you've used Gore-Tex and Teflon or you've seen Scotchgard, those have used things like these perfluorinated chemicals. We're now realizing they're really bad. They don't break down in the environment, so they don't go away. People call them forever chemicals. And they're very toxic, meaning that they can have health effects at really low levels.
By identifying products in your home that may contain these common contaminants, you can take steps to begin to improve your water quality. One of the cheapest ways to do this is buying a Brita filter, which is known to help reduce lead present in tap water, though there are also more expensive options that can improve the water quality in your home as a whole.
For protecting yourself, your best bet is using an in-home treatment technology or treatment unit if you can afford it. So I want to say up front that you know, these units are usually expensive. I mean, I know they run the gamut. They run the range from like, you know, a pitcher filter with Brita, I think that many of us are probably familiar with, all the way to like a whole home unit that you might install in your basement or outside the home and have an expert come and maintain it once a year. So, we can be talking about thousands of dollars of installation cost and mm-hmm. non-trivial amounts, hundreds of dollars of replacement and maintenance.
While this episode has focused on a lot of specific information on water quality, water itself impacts our day-to-day lives in a plethora of ways, from cooking and cleaning to going for a swim on a hot summer day. But it also plays a major role in our communities and social interactions.
And I think we're seeing this more in other parts of the U.S. If you don't have reliable water, communities can't grow. Communities can't thrive. You can't have businesses. You can't build new homes. You can't have elementary school.
I hope that this episode has given you a better perspective on the impact of water and why it is important to have clean, high-quality water in your home. Even more so, I hope that you are able to see ways water quality impacts your everyday life. This is Preston Johnson signing off. And as always, stay curious.